following message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Good morning, church family. Someone asked me last week, was I trying out a new style of preaching? The answer to that is no. Unfortunately, I have been suffering with some issues in my hip and my nerve. So I'm here by His grace. This weekend was a hard and long weekend. But I'm here because I think what needs to be said is something of God's will for us. So Paul says we identify with Christ through our suffering. So I'm identifying with Christ this morning. Now let me just give a disclaimer this morning. I am on pain medicine, so if I make up words today, we'll edit it out of the sermon for the website. A couple of things I do want to just give you an update. I did hear from Jared and Audrey, and they were supposed to be, he was supposed to be here today, but they got stuck in China due to some travel issues. And so he sent me a text last night that they were getting on a plane for Tokyo about 9:30, I believe it was. So they probably should be landing in L.A. If they've not done so, they should be there fairly soon. So it's by God's grace. I'll let him tell his story. Their departure will be one that they will never forget. We'll just say that. Through this that God has given me, for those that I've been struggling with this for about 3 weeks, have no idea what brought this on. I have a crummy back from a long time ago, but about 3 weeks ago, began to have some extreme pain in my left leg and sciatica. And I've had sciatica pain before, but I tell you what, I haven't had anything like this. So those of you who had babies, I pray for you and your suffering. You know, I was talking to Gaines, Liz's parents. I've been in town for a week. And for those of you who know, he had a stroke last year, and you guys prayed for him. And, you know, by God's grace, he has his speech, and he has motor ability. He just has numbness down one side of his body. And I told him, I said, if the Lord has given this to me so that I may be able to identify and with you, then so be it. So I told him, every time I'm hurting, I'm praying for Gaines Montgomery. So I've been praying a lot for Gaines Montgomery this week. Indeed. But in truth, you know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we in like manner may be able to comfort others in the same affliction which we have gone through. So maybe the Lord is teaching me I need to have a little more mercy to those of you who may be suffering. So if so be, I claim Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So as I'm going back and forth with doctors via text and phone call, that's what I told him. I said, whatever reason, as I told my chiropractor, for God be the glory. Today, I appreciate your flexibility. We were supposed to have our time together at our 9 o'clock small group, and thankful to the teachers. I know that you didn't have as much time to prep today as normal. So now you know what Paul means to be ready in season and out of season when you're supposed to be ready to teach. But at least we didn't tell you at 8 o'clock this morning. At least you had yesterday to be able to prepare. But what I was going to share at 9 o'clock, we chose to move that to today because I knew I just couldn't endure two time frames. But wanted to move forward with what we talked about today in regards to what I want to share with you today. Before I share this, what I'm going to share with you today is a recommendation that comes from Jared and I as your elders and your pastors, as you know, as the way we're structured as a church. We're congregational polity but elder-led, which means as elders and pastors, when it comes to major decisions or major things for our church or direction, we bring a recommendation to you, but you as a church decide in regards to what to do with that recommendation. We work together. We serve together. We're not elder rule, which means that we don't make the decision and you just have to deal with it. That's just not the way that the Scripture lays out for us to serve. Today is a little different. If you're visiting with us, I'm thankful that you are here. Normally I am teaching a text and I'm moving all over this platform and sharing the Word of the Lord. The Lord has making me be still to be able to share with you. But here's what I want you to see and hear today. What I'm going to share with you today, I want to ask from the very beginning that you will have an open mind to hear what I have to say. I pray that as what you're going to hear today, that you will not be reactionary, but will hear it, will pray over it, and think through what I'm going to share with you today. Because what I'm going to share with you today is something that I feel that God has led us to as a church and some new things. But before I share that, what I want to talk to you about first is the unity of our church. Turn with me to Psalm 133, if you would, please. As you're turning there, I want to just give praise and thanks to our Lord, because He has definitely, from my interactions with each of you, observation of you, that the Lord has brought us together very close in unity. I said to you last week, and I didn't say it flippantly, but really in all in sincerity, I believe that our church in the 11 years that Liz and I have been here are probably more unified and cohesive now than I think we ever have been. And I say that because not that if there wasn't factions or problems in the past, you know, but I really think and believe that as I've seen us corporately grow in the Lord and see us begin to rally and begin to understand what we're here for, that we've come together and we're serving together and proclaiming the gospel together. And so while we have that unity, we want to preserve that unity. And when any church is unified as this, as we looked at last week, John 17:17, Jesus prayed that we would be one, and He said so the world would know the love that we have for one another. I want to give you this forewarning. First a praise, then a forewarning. The Lord is doing a good work in our church family. He's growing this church. And anytime that happens, the forewarning is this. The enemy will rise up. And the enemy doesn't have to come from the outside. The enemy can work in our hearts even though we may not realize that we're the pawns in his, pawns in his hands. So as I share this today, that's what I want to give you the forewarning is what I'm sharing is new. It is a step, I believe, in courageous vision. I wouldn't be going to share with you today what I'm going to share if it had not been thought about, prayed about, for a very long time. All that being said, I want to make certain, as we read last week in our church covenant, that we maintain unity in our church family. Listen, some of you may be thinking, is there a problem? There's not a problem. But I think a step in a new and exciting direction for us as a church. So just make agreement with me, if you would, that over the next couple of weeks, as we will ponder this, pray over this, that we will settle in our hearts that we're going to be unified. We're going to be unified. And once I get to the recommendation, you'll understand, and I'll kind of play that out a little bit more what I mean. But look at Psalm 133. I want you to see what God says to us. Verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Understand what's being said there. Aaron was the first priest of the nation of Israel. And when he was anointed, the oil was placed upon his head, setting him apart for an amazing work to be the one who would stand between people and God. And the psalmist is saying how good it is if we are unified, because it's just that precious, he said. It's like the priest who stands before God on behalf of the people. A church that is in unity can unite together, pray together, and stand in the gap for lost people. Stand in the gap for a nation and a North Shore region who desperately needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I want us to have and maintain, that unity that God places upon us. And may God continue to grant that to us. So what is it that we're talking about today? The recommendation that I'm bringing to you today is something that we have talked about for a while in leadership. We've prayed over this for literally for years. Something that we've talked about, wondering if this was God's will, wondering if this was something that we were just creating or something that we felt like God was giving us a step to take. So this has been prayed over for many years, and more specifically, as we began 2015 last year, really began to sense the Lord calling us to pray over this, us meaning Jared and I, and then including Jared as Andrew as he came as a part of our staff. Is this the Lord's will? And by the end of the last year, really began to have the confirmation of what I'm sharing with you was God's will for us to at least bring it to you. And then having a concentrated time during the week of prayer and fasting, this was one of the things I spent much time praying and fasting. God, is this your will? I want to read the recommendation to you, and then we're going to walk through this and lay out the reasons why. The recommendation is this. First of all, I have to find my recommendation. There it is. I won't blame it on the drugs. Legal drugs, whoever's watching. That pastor's high when he's preaching. High on Jesus. Here's the recommendation. After much prayer for the past several years, with much more focused prayer over the 2015 year and even concentrated prayer over the week of prayer and the Word, Jared and I, as your pastors, are recommending to the church a step in faith and vision, with a renewed vision to help our church be more laser-focused with a clearer communication of our mission in our name by changing the name of our church from First Baptist Church of Lacombe to Redemption Church. Now, I know that for some of you, you hear that and you're thinking, well, wow, that's a huge change. This is something that we've not flippantly gone through. And I know for many of you, some of you have been for a long time, and that name may seem precious to you. But as I've asked, I want you to hear my heart behind this. Let me make clear, we're not abandoning Baptist doctrine. We're not abandoning the Baptist denomination. We're remaining connected to our association, our convention, and the national convention, the SBC. We're not changing our belief system. We're recommending changing a name, as you see in that recommendation, a name that communicates more clearly what message that we are granting and communicating as a church. Let me give you several reasons. Number one is prayer. As I have mentioned this to you, this has not been something I thought of last week and say, oh, that'd be cool. This is not being recommended to you to be trendy. I'm not about being trendy. I'm not about being faddish. If I was trendy and faddish, we'd have done a lot of different things just to get people here. Because here's the thing. If you gimmick people to get people to church, you have to gimmick people to keep them at church. And we are not, Jared and I are not about gimmicking. We want the gospel to be clear. Why we are here. And so know that as we began to pray over this, I want you to know that we also included some leadership in this. Jared and I, along with Andrew, as I mentioned to Andrew, is our worship minister. He's not an elder or pastor at this moment, but he's bringing him along and he sits in all those meetings with us. And so we sat with our deacons a couple of months ago. And according to our polity, they're not decision makers. They're leaders in servanthood. But I respect those men. And I told them I wanted to share this with them to hear their feedback. For those of you who don't remember, that's Butch Pishon. That's David Burns. That's Jerry DeGlandon and George Danton. And as We mentioned that to them. We let them hear it and let them give us feedback. And I can only tell you that in that moment, God did some confirmation for me, because I had all the reasons listed down that I'm about to say to you today came from their very mouths as they listed out the reasons why this would be good. That's not coincidence. And so I want you to know from them, they were favorable and they were in agreement to this. Now, if they would have said to us, "We don't think this is a good idea. You need to consider this." We understand they're not decision makers, but we'd have backed up and prayed over that. But understand, we had prayed much. And so understand, as I come to you today, I'm coming also with having shared this with many people as well. So know that we've prayed over this. Reason number two is this. We want our name to communicate the gospel more than it communicates history. Now, there is nothing wrong with First Baptist Church as a name. But if you think about our name, this past year, for those of you who don't know, our church celebrated 90 years of existence. It's a long time. And that God has planted our church to be here. But the name First Baptist Church is a name that's given to every Baptist church that's literally the first one chronologically that goes into a town. Between Slidell and to past Hammond, to north into Amite, Abita, all around, there's a First Baptist Church in all those places. And I can tell you that in my conversation with wherever I go, cashiers are people I usually talk to quite a bit. Wherever I go, I'm talking to them about the Lord. People immediately associate any First Baptist Church with every other First Baptist Church. Oh, you're just, this is response there. Oh, you're just like First Slidell or First Mandeville or First Covington or whatever it may be. And I love all those brothers. They're friends of mine and pastors, and by no means am I knocking them. But I want our church to communicate, what is our message? Do we want to communicate that we were the first ones that landed in this town? Now, a name in and of itself alone means nothing. If you have a church with a name that communicates the gospel and does nothing, it's simply a name. People know us by what we do. And people are learning about this church that we love, this community. A long time ago, I asked a question to our church, I asked a question to our leadership. If this church disappeared off the map tomorrow, would the community miss us? Today, I would say yes. A few years ago, I'd have said no. Because, yes, we were meeting together for the church, but we really weren't doing a whole lot for the community. We were doing small things. But now, by God's grace, He's blessed us with a compassion ministry that's impacting lots of people for the gospel. We're being more intentional with our outreach. And the back-to-school outreach that's been going on now for about 9 years, we don't have to advertise it. I'm telling you, at the end of May, you can ask Jane, last year, people were calling, "Are you giving out school supplies?" Well, yeah, but that's like in July. This is May. Because we're meeting needs and communicating the gospel. And so as we think about this, First Baptist Church doesn't communicate much gospel. The only thing that communicates is Baptist. It communicates it's a church, communicates it's the first one. And Baptist communicates that we're part of the Baptist denomination. Yeah, that does communicate doctrine. But here's the thing. You know what it means, because if you're a part of this church and you're a believer, even you yourself have a certain preconceived idea of whatever denomination that's on a particular church's name. You think, well, that's just like them, or that's just like them. Understand what this means. Redemption Church communicates that there is a biblical reason behind what we're doing. We long to see people redeemed. Now, I know the thoughts and the questions that have been pondered. Well, if we take that out of our name, will people know that we're a Baptist church? Yeah, they're going to know. Because when you go through the membership class, ask anybody that's a part of this membership class, we make it very evident, unapologetically, we're a Southern Baptist church, and this is what it means for us. But here's the thing. The question is, who are we trying to reach? Are we trying to reach people who used to be Baptists that are not going to a church that's just looking for a Baptist church? Or, thank you, Mr. Eugene. But you can wait. Let me talk today. We want there not to be any hurdle for anyone. Does that make sense? Let's define what redemption is. Redemption, I'm going to give you a definition of this. Redemption is God's action of redeeming and ransoming the lost from slavery to sin and Satan by paying the price of sin debt through Jesus' sacrifice to set free from slavery to sin in order to purchase them from His own possession. Redemption means we were lost, we were trapped, we were enslaved, and we didn't have the resources to be able to get ourselves out of that situation. And there has to be someone who has the resources to redeem us, to buy us, to get us out of where we are, to set us free. So there has to be a redeemer, and there has to be a price to be able to pay in order for we get out of that situation. But when we're redeemed, we don't just get out of sin and then we're floating around ambiguously. We get out of that, and then we're placed from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. And those of you who are in Christ Jesus, you have been redeemed. We just sang it this morning. And when you realize what redemption is, when you realize that you were trapped and you thought that you were good, but you realize you're like in a pit that is taller than you are and you can't climb the rocks and you can't climb the dirt. And the only way that you're going to get out of that is if someone rescues you. That's the picture where we are. Our pit of sin, Eve may say, well, I'm a fairly good person. One sin buries you deeper in sin and entrapment than 50,000 sins. It's all entrapment into slavery of sin, and we all need rescuing. So Redemption Church communicates to people, say, we are about you being rescued, about you coming to the side where God can give you hope and purchase and meaning and a new kingdom and a new place to belong. So let me break down what this definition means. First of all, for redemption to take place, there is a problem. People who are sinners trapped in sin and enslaved in sin are held in the kingdom of Satan. Turn me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now, I know some of you are thinking of questions even as we're doing this. And so I've tried to lay this out in such a way that I'm trying to answer the questions before they're asked. You are going to have plenty of time to ask questions. Of course, not this morning. Unless you packed a lunch, then I'll stay and talk to you. But Genesis chapter 3, here's the problem. Here's the foundational problem. Because here, let me say this to you, church. Redemption is the theme of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. If you remember, I preached a series called The Bible, God's Story of redemption. The Bible lays it out from Genesis all the way through Revelation that there's a problem that started with Adam and Eve, and because of that, every person who is born is in that problem. Let's read it. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field than the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of his fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Who sewed the fig leaves? Adam and Eve. Who put them on? Adam and Eve. Guess what they're doing? They're in sin. And this is the first picture of people's works, attempts to try to cover their sinfulness. Let me put that to you in our days. We try to do good deeds to cover our sinfulness. We try to be kind to cover our sinfulness. We try to give to social entities to make ourselves for good. We volunteer time to make ourselves be good. But the Bible is very clear. Those things are not going to get us out of our entrapment. This is where it all started. And we're all guilty because of this. Let me show it to you. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Look at me, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, who's that one man? That's Adam. And death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who were sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Do you hear what he's saying? Death reigned from Adam to Moses. So guess what? Even before the law was given before Moses, everyone is guilty of sin. There's the problem. Adam and Eve were in need of a redeemer. So for redemption to take place, the second thing I want you to see is there has to be a redeemer. And the only one who can redeem us is God. And here's the reason why. Because He alone has the resources and the means to pay for sin to get us out of our entrapment. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to make you do Bible drill today, church. Genesis chapter 3. So we know that they cover themselves in their own attempt to try to cover their sin. Now what happens after that is that they're walking around and God says, Adam and Eve, where are you? As if God really needed to know where they are. Correct?
I can't see them.
Really? No. What's the point? It's to bring Adam and Eve to their own acknowledgement of their sinfulness. We hid because, well, it's our fault. And she said, well, we hid because it's Satan's fault. You know what that is? That's called passing the buck, and we all do it when it comes to our sin. We blame it on the devil. He made me do it. If you ever say that, you are lying through your mouth. Devil doesn't make you do anything. You make your own choices to do something. He may tempt you, but you're making that choice. So where is God in this picture? Look to Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to see verse 26. Nope, wrong. Sorry. 20 and 21. There's not a 26 in chapter 3. Just overlook my mistakes today, all right? Verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And notice this. Here's God being redeemer. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. That's a picture of redemption. Do you know why? Up to this point, animals had been created and they were perfect. So guess what had to happen for skin to be used as clothing? A sacrifice had to be made. So who set the standard that blood sacrifices was necessary to cover sin? God did. Was it Moses? It was God. Because when you look at Hebrews, you'll notice that Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9, 22. So understand, redemption had to take place. So the third thing I want you to see then is this. For redemption to take place, there has to be a price to be paid. It was a sacrifice. For the sacrifice for us is Jesus. The redemption that comes only through Jesus Christ, that God sent His Son to be able to bring that about. God made the redemption plan from the very beginning. But I want you to show you something real neat if you've not ever seen this. Look with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Do you know that Jesus is actually mentioned in prophecy in Genesis from the very beginning? His name is not mentioned, but there is a promise of the Redeemer that's going to come. Look with me at verse 15. Let's actually begin to verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Do you know who the He is from Eve's offspring? It's a first prophecy of Jesus that's going to come and going to crush the head of the enemy. So there's a promise. Even before the sacrifice was made by God for Adam and Eve, that he was promising there's going to be one Satan, by the way, that's going to crush your head. He's going to defeat you. So think about it. From all of Old Testament history, from Genesis, from Adam and Eve, all the way up to the time that Jesus came, he knows at some point the Redeemer's going to come and it's going to destroy him. So he's working hard through all that time. But guess what? He's still working hard. And I've said this to you multiple times. He's tempting people to take them to a place that he's never been. He's never been in hell. He was cast down to the earth. He's going to the lake of fire. So think about it. When all those sins look so good, Satan is luring you to a place that he's not been. But he knows his end. But let me show you the promise and the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture. Look back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Here's the problem in our society and problem that you had as well. Yes, our name will communicate the gospel message more clearly. And some may have curiosity and say, well, what does that mean? I guarantee you, if we could have a camera in every car that passed down that road, probably as they pass down on our new property and see redemption, this is probably what they'll hear. Siri, what does redemption mean? Does anybody know what Siri is? If you have an iPhone, it is the woman voice, whatever she is. If you have Android, Google, what does redemption mean? Can you just imagine people driving by looking that up to understand what it means? But look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things that through death he might, say it with me, destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, through Christ's sacrifice. Satan was crushed, meaning he knew the statement was, you're going to lose. It's like beginning a boxing match and you tell one of the individuals stepping in the ring, says, you're going to lose. But he fights anyways, knowing that victory is going to be granted. This is the ransom that came, church. Christ came. He took the blows from the enemy so that you and I could be redeemed. He took the punishment. He took the pain. So to be able to have redemption, to be set free and brought into the kingdom, it's not that Christ has to die over again. The payment's been made. It's been made. So what happens is you and I can be rescued and the ransom payment can be applied to us if we place faith in Christ. Turn to Romans 3. Verse 23 through 26. So we can be rescued. Look at Romans 3. It would be like this. How many of you have a house mortgage note? A car note? A school debt? All right, let's start over. How many of you have debt? Yes, Lord. Everybody's raising their hands. And someone sends a note to you and tells you, hey, David Burns, your debt's been paid. But what you need to do, though, is you need to acknowledge it and trust that they've paid this debt for you. And if you trust this debt for you, all those payment slips you've been getting are going to go away. And they're going to come anymore. And when they come, it's going to say paid. So you're going to say, that's too easy. That's not possible. You mean all I've got to do is acknowledge that it's paid for and I can have my debt paid? Listen, if someone comes in my house and says, Pastor, your debt's been paid for your mortgage, just come down to this house, this office. I will get in my truck in that moment and I will go and acknowledge you pay my debt. Can I hear an amen there? Amen, amen twice over here by Gary Pullman. Amen, amen, amen. God's work has been accomplished. But it only is applied to those who place faith in the work. Look at Romans 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption. There it is. That is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. So here's what the scripture is saying. We're all sinners. God is putting out the payment. And the payment is done, but he says this, but it's to be received by what? What's your text say? Faith. To be received by faith. So in order for us to receive this great work of redemption, this great act that God is rescuing mankind, the great work to get us out of our bondage, our great work, whether we are morally good, or whether we've been religious our whole life, or whether we've been an addict, or whether we've just been aimless, for God to redeem us and to rescue us, you have to come to a point to acknowledge, I'm messed up, and I'm a sinner, and I need God to do the work that I can't do. It is humility in faith to understand that our efforts, our deeds, our being is insufficient in comparison to the full, complete, perfect work of Christ. And if you are saved today, you are only saved by God's grace. If you've been redeemed, it's not been anything that you have done. If you said, well, I walked down an aisle, I bowed my knee, I will argue with you to say to you, that you did those things because God worked in your heart to enable you, to give you the power, to understand, to place faith in Him, for redemption to come to you. So here's the great work of redemption. God made the plan. God made the way. God works in our hearts, and He brings us to salvation. And it's our acknowledgement of faith that the work is applied. And at that moment, we are rescued. Aren't you glad you've been rescued? Set free from the traps and the hooks of the enemy. He is good at what he does. Anybody been fishing before? Now, if somebody's watching simulcast on a boat, you need to be here today. Love you. Here's the thing. For those of you who are fishermen, you know that certain hooks have those secondary hook, so once it gets hooked on that fish, he tries to get back, it grabs him and it attaches him. It's hard to get him off, and man, if that fish swallows that hook, well, you just sacrifice the fish to get that thing out of there. That's the way Satan works. He hooks people. They get hooked on, then they try to get out of it, and they're doubly hooked. It's tough to get out of that situation. But here's what I want you to say. If you know of people who are trapped, oftentimes they'll say, there's no way out for me. I can't get out of this situation. I'm too far in. It's not possible for God to save me from those things. And I want to say to you, by the hand of God, whatever grapples and hooks He has in you, that is what Jesus did, and He crushed that. So in the moment when you place faith in Him, those grapples and those hooks are broken, and Satan has no hand upon you in that moment, because in that moment, God, through the Holy Spirit, indwells us, and you are set free. That's what redemption is. Communicating and reminding our own selves, we've been redeemed regardless of how you were grabbed. And I know your stories. Some of you have been so honestly transparent in your baptism testimonies. It is a delight to God Almighty for you not to put on a mask and say, well, God just rescued me. Some of you have been honest to say that God has rescued you from addiction. God rescued you from some religious trapping that you thought you were saved for years, and you had to overcome a fear thinking that everybody else knows that I'm saved. What is it going to say? And I say to all those people, who cares what people think? What matters is what God thinks of you in this moment. If you get in that baptistry and you say, I've been a member of this church for 40 years, but God opened up my eyes, there is no moment they're going to say, I don't think that person really knows what they're talking about. In that moment, it's going to be, thank you, God, for opening up their eyes to realize that they were trapped in religiosity and you set them free to the kingdom of God. That's redemption. We can be rescued. Folks, I want people redeemed. People drive up and down this road and live in this community, and you have friends and you have family. They are trapped. Even as I say that, many of you are nodding your heads because immediately you know of people in your own lives that think that they're okay. And they are bound. And they need redemption. It comes by the power of Christ and His Word. I want to tie these verses and points together by one verse. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 14. As I mentioned, just asking you to have an open mind as you hear this. and ask ourselves the question, what is God's will? Not what we want, but what is God's will for all this? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. As we read this, what you're going to see, you're going to see the picture of God as the Redeemer and Jesus as the price and us in our rescuing. Let's read it. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to what? Redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Do you hear it? It is God's grace in verse 11 that he brings about salvation through the ransom price, Jesus, to redeem us. And the purpose is this. Listen to me. It's not just that God redeems us and gets us out of sin. He redeems us and then puts us in his possession. And then he doesn't just put us in a possession just to say, hey, there's a few more that I'm putting in my group. He saves you to redeem you, to make your life purposeful. Because he says he makes you zealous for good works. What happens is when you realize that you've been redeemed and you understand the work of God, you become zealous for other people who are trapped and not redeemed to have redemption like you. Because what you're then seeing is when you're out of the pit and you realize how good it is, you realize, man, people need to be rescued. And so you're crying out to them to know about the God who is the Redeemer and the payment that's been made, and that what they have to do is reach out, even though it looks like it's impossible. You say, through Jesus Christ, I believe in you. In that moment, you're out of that pit and you're rescued and you belong to him. Listen, that's great news. That's what happens in adoption. That's the picture of what Jared and Audrey did with Gideon. They went to a place, to a young boy who couldn't do anything on his own. He had no resources. He had no ability to get out of that orphanage. But two people all the way across the world felt the calling of God. And why him? Only God knows why that particular boy would have been chosen. And so through the payment and the grace that was actually given to Jared and Audrey with financial blessing, they were able to go to take a little boy who hadn't been loved on, who hadn't been held for a long time, to rescue him, put him on a plane, and in their possession now to give him new purpose, new life, and a new family. That is the picture of what God did through Jesus when he saved your soul. That's redemption. I read a quote this past week. Almost wanted to adopt it for our church. Found people find people. Did you hear it? Found people find people. Because you know what it was like to be lost. Believer, listen to me. Don't forget what it was like for you to be lost. Remember it. And remember his great work. That's the biblical laying out of this. Let me give you a couple other reasons. Number three. Why are we doing this? This new name will give us uniqueness and identity. You know, my heart's desire, as I mentioned to you earlier, is not to be cliquish and say, oh, that's a cool name, or that's a cool name. This has been something that we've prayed over. And what we've said is, Lord, what would define the heartbeat of this church? What would give us a communication to people to say, this is what we're about, and this is what we continue to have the Lord just to come back to us over and over and again, to be able to have uniqueness and identity. What I mean by that is, as I mentioned to you before, if you were to go on the internet and you type First Baptist Church on the North Shore, you're going to come up with bajillions of First Baptist churches. There is no Redemption Church in this region. There is a Redemption Christian Center that's in Hammond, and then Redemption Church, that's it. There's one all the way in Mississippi. Here's what I'm saying. Some people say, well, we're just in little old Lacombe. I'm telling you, God wants to do something great with this church in Lacombe. You know what people said about Jesus? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I think something good came out of Nazareth. called the gospel, called salvation. Can anything good come out of Lacombe? Yes! He can, and He wants to. I want you to get this, church. We want to be able to say, hey, when you go somewhere and say, you're talking to somebody at the cashier, where you go to church, say, Redemption Church. Oh, I hadn't heard that. Where's that at? Well, it's on 434. It's a mile off the interstate. We're the only one on the North Shore. You can't miss us. Just look it up. It's going to be right there. Praise Jesus. To be able to say that, hey, this is who we are. And listen, it's not going to be a disconnect. People are going to learn about who we are. Here's the fourth reason. We want our new name to communicate that we are a regional church. Reason four, Candy. We want our new name to communicate that we are a regional church and open to all people. First Baptist Church of Lacombe certainly tells us that we're here for Lacombe. We're not forgetting Lacombe. But I want your eyes and your heartbeat to open up beyond just this town. I want to be a church that is healthy, that we can be able to communicate and reach people beyond Lacombe. Folks, if you just look around you in this church, God is doing that right now. Gary Rosemary, driving from Hammond. John and Gail, driving from the east part of Slidell. There's people who are coming from different places because when they've come here, they said, God is here. And I want to be here. And so we want our church to be able to communicate, not for people to just think, oh, we're just in Lacombe. We want to know that we are here for everybody. We want to be regional. And we want it to be open to all people. And this is where some of you maybe say, why are we putting Baptist in the name? And here's the reason why. We want to be open so that people who come here aren't caught by the name Baptist. I am not ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of being part of the Southern Baptist Convention, but I'm here to tell you, there are other good churches that are outside the Baptist denomination that are doing things for the gospel. And we want to be able for people to, when they come, say, oh, that's a church, and when they come, we're going to be able to communicate clearly who we are. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to explain to you what I mean by being open to all people. This is not what some denominations mean. It's like, oh, we'll just take you and let you be like you are. We're not saying that we're open to all kinds of lifestyles. We're saying we want you to come. But to be a part of this congregation, you've got to be saved, you've got to repent, and you've got to place faith in Jesus Christ. We want it to be open so that someone can say, okay, I'm going to come here. Because I guarantee you, people that we've talked to who are unchurched or either they're lost or either they've had some kind of bad experience before and some kind of connotation in their mind goes with having the name Baptist that's there in the name. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It'd be helpful if I turned there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23. Notice what Paul says. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. That's the thrust why we're doing this, church. We're doing it because we want to be able to communicate that we're here to reach all people. This is what Paul is saying. I became like a Jew, meaning he understood what the law said. I became like the outsiders that understands the law of Christ. He says, I did all things, not for his own namesake. Paul wasn't about waving his flag for his attention. He did it because he wanted Christ to get the glory. Folks, listen to me. No denomination will save a person. You list it out. You list it out. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever it is that you list, I'm going to tell you that the name of a denomination doesn't save people. The only thing that saves people is Christ. Now, we are about Jesus. And what our name has not limited us from proclaiming the gospel. What we're just simply saying is we want to shine the light even brighter. The light is bright. Hear what I'm saying. There's not a problem in what we're doing. We just want to magnify it greater. to reach more people. It's like going from a flashlight to one of those rented lights that you have and pop it up and it's enough to light up a football field. We want to make it clear that we are here to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will remain clear of who we are unapologetically. That we're a Baptist church. They're going to hear about it in our teaching. They're going to hear about our doctrine. They're going to understand who we are. We're not trying to be secretive and trying to be deceptive. It's going to be clear. But listen to me. If the denomination falls away tomorrow, we're independent, we're autonomous, and we are set in course to be able to be a part of who this church. Let me give you another reason. We believe the timing is right. God, as you know, has blessed us beyond imagination and belief financially. That it looks like that we'll be able to start building this year. We would rather broach this subject and talk about it and pray about it with you now, rather than trying to get the building built and get established and have the name up there and then us say, hey, let's talk about this issue. It would create confusion for our community. So what we want to do is to, if you embrace this step, and again, as I mentioned, we're a congregational church. I'm presenting this on behalf of Jared and I as your elders. We're a congregational church, and we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to lay out the strategy for you how we're going to do this. But I want you to know that if this happens, we're going to make steps to be able to communicate who we are to our community so they make a clear connection that First Baptist Church didn't die. The First Baptist Church is very much alive with a renewed focus. So how are we going to do that? Here's our strategy. Number one, because not everyone is here today. For some reason, it looks like we're missing quite a few folks, sickness or travel or whatever. So first thing that we're going to do is we're going to communicate this through our newsletter for everyone who's a part of our address system. It's going to be pretty detailed of what we're going to do. We're going to make it known that the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to communicate through our compassion ministry. We'll hand out cards and information to every person who comes to let them know this is who we were and this is who we're becoming. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to put up a sign on this present property that would say something like, First Baptist Church has a new name, Redemption Church, and a future location on Highway 434. We always do a book mailing for Easter. Now, last year that went to over 7,000 homes, I believe. We'll add it on that. The goal in all this is that we want to communicate clearly the connection of who we are to the church, to the community, that this is who we are. The fifth thing that we'll do is when we do begin to break ground the new property is to put a sign there. Future home of Redemption Church, formerly called First Baptist Church. Visit us at our present location on Highway 27351, Highway 190. And the last thing, when we're ready to open up, if you approve it, I'd love for us to rent a billboard on I-12 to let people know Redemption Church is open. I want us to be more focused and more intentional in reaching the lost around us. I believe that God has orchestrated things in our church to bring us to this point. Those of you who have been here for a short time have not been here for the long journey. As you know, we had plans to build here in this location, and we felt that God called us not to do that and shared a vision in 2008. And I said, if we buy land, it's going to take us a while to build. We're going to slow it down. And you embrace that. You know, moving for this church is actually not a new thing. This is actually the third location where we're sitting right now, according to this church's history. The third. We're about to make it a fourth. Hopefully, when I get to the fourth one, that's going to be pretty good for a while. But for those of you who haven't been here, you know that we've presented building plans to you at one time, and it was pretty sizable, and the association was going to buy our property here, and we're going to dump that $600,000+ into the building, and it made it look good. And we went back and forth, and then that ended up being a no, so that had to change. And we got some other plans. We tweaked those down, and we've estimated that, and we looked at our finances and we said, ain't no way we can do that. And throughout all that time, though, what God has done is solidified some relationships in our church. It's brought us together where we have a more focused ministry. We now have good structure. We have some men now serving as deacons. The timing of all God just bringing things together seems to be right for all of this. So I know some of you are beginning to wonder, what about the legal matters that's involved in this? Because I know that some of you think, well, what about First Baptist Church of Lacombe? Listen, we've done due diligence. We've done our homework. And what we will do as a church is, if you embrace this recommendation, we will register Redemption Church through the Secretary of State as a DBA, which means doing business as. Which means that First Baptist Church of Lacombe will always be our legal name. That no one would ever be able to come into Lacombe and start a First Baptist Church of Lacombe to cause confusion. It would be ours. We own it. But Redemption Church would be what we're registered in operation. So if anybody ever comes here and puts up a sign and says, "Future Home of First Baptist Church," we'll be able to legally say, "You can't do this. It belongs to us." So where do we go from here? Three things. Number one, it's going to be some Q&A sessions. Over the next couple of weeks on Wednesday nights, we want to give you, and Wednesday mornings, for those of you who can't come on Wednesday nights, this coming Wednesday is actually our monthly day of prayer, yes. And so we'll pray over this, but we're going to have Q&A time for you to be able to ask questions, be able to express maybe your any thoughts you have, concerns, things that maybe you want us to think about. This is your opportunity to be able to do this. And I don't want you to walk away and be disgruntled and say, "Well, I don't like that, and that's not going to do any good." And if you do that and you go murmur, you're just going to cause a problem. This Q&A time is for you to be able to come and talk to me. And if you prefer to do things in private, listen, I want to hear from you. Please hear me. We are not ramrodding this through for you, because I know that this is new for you. This is settled with me for a very long time. And it's something that I own. And I want it to be something that you want if it's the Lord's will. Very much like several years ago when I led us as a church to consider changing our government structure to elder-led. There was lots of questions, and we took the time to work through that to the point that you understood and we embraced that. So that's all I'm asking you to do. So the second thing I'm asking you to do is just to pray. Pray for the Lord's clarity. And if you're excited about it, pray for that. But if you're struggling with it, just pray and say, "Lord, is my struggle just personal? Or is this something that I need to talk to the pastor about?" Because I want you to be able, I want us to move forward in whatever direction that we do. Hear me. If the church chooses not to embrace this, we're going to still march forward as a church. Understand that. This is not going to be, if this doesn't happen, I'm throwing my toys down and going home. Don't get that impression at all. This doesn't mean if you say, "This is not what I embrace as a pastor," going to leave. That's not the case at all. I hope you know me well enough to bring something like this to the table. It's not been something that has been flippant or just fly by night. And the last thing that we would do after those Q&A sessions for 2 weeks, then as a church, we would vote on this. But during those couple of weeks, if in those conversations that if Jared and I, after hearing from you and we talk about it, if we feel that we need more time, then we will make that known that we'll take more time. We want you to be on the journey for what God has for us. Church, I believe that God does have great things for us. He is doing great things with us. And I believe there is more to come. So let me just ask you this question. If you're sitting in this room this morning, I think the first question that you need to ask your own self is, have you been redeemed? All that we've laid out and talked about, have you ever acknowledged that you're in the pit and you need Jesus to get you out? If you've not, then today I challenge you, in faith, acknowledge that you're in the pit. And acknowledge that you need the one who's outside, who is the Redeemer, who has all the resources available for you. Don't listen to the enemy right now. Who's telling you that it's not possible? Who's telling you that you can't change? I'm telling you, God is a changing agent. He can set you free. He can make you a new creation. He can make all the things that are old gone. He can wash you clean. And if that's you today, I'm begging you, pleading with you today, be redeemed. Let God save your soul. If you're as a believer and you have been redeemed and you have forgotten the precious gift that God has given you, maybe today it's just a simple praise to Almighty God that you realize that He set you free, that He made you His own possession, and that you belong to Him, And if you're here today and you have been redeemed and you're just aimlessly wondering, I want to remind you, He saved you, according to Titus 2:14, to do zealous good works. He has a purpose for you. Every one of us have a purpose to function together. And I read it last week, and I'll quote it to you again. Ephesians 4 tells us, when every part of the body is working together, it grows and builds itself up in love. I lay this before you humbly. I lay it before you excitingly, though. Looking forward to what God has in store for us as a church. Is it God's will for us to become Redemption Church? I ask for you to pray over this as we will have a commitment. I'm going to ask Andrew to come and Liz to come as our musicians. I want us just to have a moment of prayer and silence to just put our hearts before the Lord, asking for God's will in this, asking for unity in our church body in this decision, whichever route it is that we choose to go. And then just asking yourself, Lord, is this right? And if you have any personal struggles, make a commitment in your heart to say, Lord, I'm not going to blame people or complain. That you'll say, Lord, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to talk with the pastor and the elders. I don't want this to be something that any of you would say, if they do that, I'm leaving. My question would be this to you. Are you in love with a name, or are you in love with Jesus? We want Jesus to be the center. We want to see people redeemed. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads where you are, as they'll play quietly just for a moment. Submit those things to the Lord. Are you redeemed? If not, come. I'm going to ask John and Butch are going to be standing here at the front this morning. If you need prayer, you can come to those guys. You guys come now. If you need prayer for anything, sickness, healing, finances, relationships, these guys are here to pray with you. So after a moment of silence and prayer, we're going to sing. But are you redeemed? If you are, praise Him. And then just submit this before the Lord and say, God, this is not just to be tricky. This is not just to be trendy. God, if this is your will, we pray you'd take it and the gospel will be more clear than ever before. So we'll take a moment in silence, and then Andrew will lead us.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.